Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout, and the stands.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Liverpool Echo's Post Game Podcast with me, Patrick Smith, after Liverpool once again win 3-1 for the fourth time in a row, this time coming from behind to knock Leicester City out of the League Cup. A hard-fought first half and some Liverpool tension was eased by Cody Gakpo's goal shortly after the break before the cavalry arrived from the bench, first with Dominic Szoboszlai's thunderbolt and followed up by Diogo Jota's exquisite back-heel finish. Lots of talking points as Jurgen Klopp once again rotated his talented squad, so let's bring you the reaction of Paul Gores from the Anfield press box, followed by Klopp's press conference and the view from the Kop from the post-game podcast's brilliant Mark Baker.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Liverpool will play Bournemouth in the fourth round of the League Cup after a 3-1 win here at Anfield against Leicester in the third round. Another 3-1 win, the fifth this season. Liverpool once again starting slowly, conceding early on. Casey McAteer scored after just 3 minutes after Liverpool were caught cold on the counter attack. Kostas Tsimikas thought he might have had a foul in the build-up to it, but the referee waved that away and Liverpool found themselves a goal down very early on. But they fought their way back into it, an experimental side, has to be said. Yeah, Klopp made 10 changes for the team that beat West Ham at the weekend. The one player who kept his place was Curtis Jones, and he was shunted out to right back to play that kind of hybrid role that has become something of a trademark for the Liverpool team since around about April. Normally it's Trent Alexander-Arnold playing that role, of course, but we've seen Joe Gomez do it and Stefan Bissettis do it already this season. And this time it was the turn of Jones, who captained the side and turned in an industrious performance. He was good as a midfielder. The defensive side of the game plan was a little bit shaky at times, with McAteer finding themselves in oceans of space. But he was Leicester's only real outlet, and once Liverpool got to grips with the pace of the game, it never really felt like they were going to lose this one in all actuality. Bendo should have scored. Cody Gakpo could have scored. Conor Coady cleared off the line. Doak hitting the underside of the crossbar. One or two other chances in the first half, but Liverpool flew out of the traps in the second and made it 1-1. It was a really good start to the second half from the Reds. Cody Gakpo fired in after a wonderful pass from Ryan Gravenberch on his first Anfield start, and once it was 1-1, as I say, you never really felt like Liverpool were going to come away from this game with anything other than a victory and a passage into the fourth round. Klopp brought on Dominic Szoboszlai and Darwin Núñez on 65 minutes, and within 5 minutes of their introduction it was 2-1, with the Hungary captain Szoboszlai firing in one of the goals of the season so far, around about 25 yards, barring in all the hallmarks of the Steven Gerrard special. And they just love him around these parts, don't they? The £60 million summer signer from RB Leipzig, he is really playing himself into the hearts of the Reds fans, and it was a wonderful strike down the Kop end, his second since he moved to the club over the summer. And once it got to 2-1, Liverpool were only going to go on and score a third. Diogo Jota, he made it 3-1 and the game safe just before stoppage time with a wonderful little back-heel finish from Jarrell Kwanza's cutback after great work from the defender, who won it high up and carried it into the box. So Liverpool win 3-1 once again. It's almost right in itself, isn't it, lately? The fifth time this season that they've done that. And an interesting point from Liverpool's perspective is that they have 16 goals shared between the front five, and they are options that really offer Klopp a range of capabilities for this season. It has to be said, you know, Liverpool can really go far on the strength of their attacking options. Once the defence becomes a little bit more settled with the return of Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andy Robertson and Virgil van Dijk both didn't play tonight. Mohamed Salah had the night off, and with Thiago still to come back, and Trent, of course, really does show Liverpool's newfound strength and depth, particularly with Alisson Becker sitting out as well. But once they get a little bit more of a settled back line, once you start to see Trent Alexander-Arnold playing in that back four alongside van Dijk and Konate and Robertson on a regular basis, we should start to see Liverpool keeping a few more clean sheets, because that's a little bit of a worry for Klopp at the moment. But other than that, it has been plain sailing. They've won 7 of 8 games this season, unbeaten in 19 games now, dating back to early April with that goalless draw at Chelsea, and everything at the moment seems to be on the right path. They're into the fourth round. They'll play Bournemouth next month, and Liverpool at the moment going from strength to strength. It's a huge one now on Saturday at Tottenham, a huge early test of both teams having started the season well, Spurs and the Reds, and we shall see what happens there. But for now, Liverpool are into the fourth round, and it's been an excellent night's work for a much changed team to finish Liverpool 3, Leicester City 1.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Even first one, Mike?
Jürgen, your assessment of the overall performance, again, it's coming from behind, but the way you finished the game, I don't think you'd be too bothered.
Yeah, that will probably be kind of a headline a little bit, that we are again 1-0 down, but again a completely different goal to all the others. I'm not sure it was a foul or not. Looked for us obviously like a foul because he felt it was a foul. Could we have defended them better in the first moment? Maybe yes, and then the last pass was really good and the finish is a good finish, so then it's difficult. And again, it happened. You don't like that, but it happened, and then it's all about the reaction. And without playing outstandingly well immediately, we created already massive chances you, it's really difficult to miss, but we did, and the goalie had a save, crossbar, whatever, however the ball was, didn't go in the back of the net, I have no clue. So in half time now it's clear you want to make sure that we don't get frustrated, because so far we didn't score, stuff like this. We have to really stay positive, and not really chasing the game, just playing the game. And that's what the boys did, and then minute by minute we grew into that game, and it was a top performance, and to be honest, with all the quality of Leicester, we have to admit that as well, super coached team, obviously, super set up. You can pretty much see, feel and smell the confidence they have because of their situation. So that's made life difficult, but we kept going and improved during the game as a team, clearly, but individually as well. A lot of performances stepped up, bam, here we are. And I like that a lot.
There was an irresistibility about Liverpool in the second half, and the goals, all very different, but all excellent in the way that they came about, and the finishes.
Yeah, top goals, absolutely top goals. So many, but I think the goals we didn't score were pretty beautiful as well, just didn't go in. The last of Harvey, I have no clue who blocked that. How was that? It was, now, look back, a top night for us, because look at Bataru, how he grew into the game, and from a... how dominant he was in the second half, how he really won the balls, passed the balls. I'm not sure it's the last pass before Dom scores, but for sure, yeah, probably. He passed about three lines again, what he did quite frequently. That was really, really, really good. He played a super game. Joel Kwanzaa, not only playing outstanding well, setting a goal up, Ben. So exciting, you cannot watch him without smiling, to be honest. It's really, really nice to see. Strikers, fought so hard and scored then super important goals, both Cody and Diogo. Harvey, what a work rate. Curtis on right back. Ibu with using his full speed in the counter-attacks in the second half. So it was grief, calm, composed. I'm not sure I forgot anybody. Costi, super difficult start, and was close, I think, to lose a little bit, but found a way back into the game. Really good for him as well. So it was just Ryan.
Exactly, Ryan.
And that's just in a game like this, being in the most difficult area and constantly under pressure, and then finding always little solution and solutions which help us a lot. So super science tonight. I really like that a lot. Yeah, the boys enjoyed playing it, and how you saw how they were pressing until the last second, they really enjoyed it, and that's cool.
Dave?
Dominic produced an absolutely stunning goal. I'm presuming he does that quite a lot in training, and you clearly encourage him to do that.
I don't have to, yeah. I don't have to tell Shoot, he knows that, he says he knows better than I. That's a pretty good skill. The next one, which goes slightly over, is another grenade. So, yeah, you can see that in Premier League games. I think everybody tries to block him. That's why it didn't come through yet. But if he comes through, then it's a good chance the ball could be in. But super goal. But the situation is it the ball, when it, I think it was like this, but how passed the ball through, and in that moment there is no midfielder, there is no defender who can then hold him. That's why it's so important after winning the ball to try to play the first pass forward, or at least have a forward orientated idea, and that helped there a lot. Yeah, good.
Chris.
Sorry. It's so long ago that he's here that I forgot what I thought when he came. Since the first minute of training, it was pretty impressive. That's how it is. He's a top bloke, really. Top guy. Easiest step into the game, into the team. Dressing room-wise, stuff like this. A very naturally confident boy. So, and that helps, but a super hard worker, and that's what you see today. He came on, had two very difficult situations. I think he stepped on the first ball when he defended our counter attack, lost the ball there. Next one, I think he lost as well. And from that moment on, he was just in the game. So that's super important. He enjoys it a lot being here. And the people obviously appreciate it as well. It's a good situation. Long may it continue.
Last one here.
Just a word on Curtis Jones and I, obviously, the captain as well.
Skipper.
When did he tell him that he was going to be captain, and just your thoughts on his overall performance tonight?
I should tell him yesterday when I told him he will be play right back, same moment. So I sold the right back idea with the captaincy. Let me say it like that. But he was already completely excited when I told him that he will play right back, and the way he executed it was super special. I have to say, wow, super smart. But the idea is. Or if we thought about him, so we couldn't play Stefan long. We have to be careful with him. Joey will be okay for the weekend, but was not okay for today. For Trent, it's too early, so we need to find solutions. And Curtis was always in my mind as a potential solution there. Because he's really football smart. So that's how it is. And he enjoys being on the ball. And the deeper you are, the more often you can get the ball. That was a top performance, I have to say, for the first time on a for him strange position. He did really well, and I like that a lot. He's in a good moment, so probably he could play every position in a moment, so each position in a moment. But we will try to use him as often as possible in his natural position.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a nice one. Bye.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Good for Liverpool to progress on in the Carabao Cup, beating Leicester City at Anfield comfortably in the end by 3-1. Liverpool won the much better side and could have won by more goals, really. But I think it's important because what it does allow you with progressions in these kind of competitions and in the Europa League this season is the chance to field essentially second string squad members, meaning that players are rested within the midweek selections of matches during the course of the, it was certainly the early part of the season anyway, while the competitions are either in the group stage in Europe or in the sort of infancy in the early rounds in the domestic cup competitions. And also keeps a freshness to squad members who you need to bring in at certain moments, keep everyone active within the side, keep them getting regular minutes, which of course is important. And so for that reason, it was really important that Liverpool were able to come back from, again, an adverse start to the game in which they found themselves 1-0 down to be able to progress to the next round. And I thought it was important just to mention, I think it just to go through a few individuals really for this particular game. And I think the first one would be Dominic Szoboszlai, who ended up being the match winner in the game for Liverpool. Liverpool not being able to get on the right-hand side of the result until they made changes in the second half, as in the European fixture in the Europa League during the previous week. And one of them changes again was Szoboszlai coming onto the field. And I haven't really mentioned him in the early podcasts of the season. I think one of the reasons for that is I never really like to jump the gun on players. I like to sort of have a wealth of evidence that suggests to me that this is the positives, this is the negatives, and sort of this is what your expectations would be going forward. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to get too ahead of yourself at times. But this player, I mean, really, I mentioned Curtis Jones in the previous podcast, now really played in the previous game, and just in general for Liverpool, now a bigger player I think he's going to be going forward. And I mentioned that there's very few weaknesses in his game in relation to being off the ball, on the ball, and physicality. And probably the one you could say for Curtis Jones is just having that impact at this moment in time in the final third. Now, with Szoboszlai, he could easily fit into the categories as well. And that's why I don't want to go too over the top on it. And what I mean by that is he's got great physicality off the ball. Although he is not as inclined to retain the ball as comfortably as Jones, he's got a high level of completion within them areas, meaning that, again, both with and without the ball, the athleticism to get around the pitch and cover big spaces and cover gaps in the side when Liverpool are out of possession, but also the ability to get from box to box and influence the game when on the football in the attacking third as well. And what he's probably got that Jones doesn't have at this moment in time is that final third impact. I mean, he seems to have that great ability to be such a clean striker of a ball. And again, there's not many who possess that sort of technical quality aligned with all the other things that I've just talked about. And I've just been so impressed by how he's done so far. And again, I want to see more of the player before you get a total picture. But it all looks massively positive, and somebody who looks to have a really, really high ceiling, and he could really have it all, what you want from sort of a modern midfield player. And again, you know, if you talk about today, for example, the cleanness of the execution and the way he got his shot off, it was almost reminiscent of an old Gerrard strike that you were used to seeing from outside that penalty area when receiving possession. It was a perfect touch out of his feet. His angle of approach was excellent to be able to open his body up, and then using the laces, the technique to generate the power and elevate the ball into the top corner of the goal. If he's got that in his locker and has the other elements that he's already shown, again, you know, Liverpool could have some really, really special midfield players on their hands for the next few years. They really could do. And a mix of different abilities as well. So I wanted to mention him, and I'm sure I'll be mentioning him in the coming weeks as well. Super introduction and a super goal tonight. I suppose another player I wanted to touch on was Ben Doak also, who, again, I haven't really had a chance to mention on the podcast yet, really. Obviously, he hasn't played many games. But today, I just think there's an electricity about him when every time he receives possession of the ball, sort of that explosive ability to be able to create separation between him in a 1v1 and his direct opponents. And I think that was all on show today. Obviously, 17 years of age, he's got to, you know, consolidate the final pass, the final action, if you like, within moves when he gets inside that penalty area. But he gets into them the penalty area in such frequency, and is able to just separate himself between his man, as I say, his direct opponents. That brilliant shift that he's got to be able to create that space and create that angle to then complete his next action. And that is a really special trait to have at such a young age. And I think one of the interesting things for me about Ben Doke is he's a right-footed player playing on the right-hand side, which of course is a little bit different to what you'd expect in modern football. You're used to sort of the opposite, you know, if you think about coming inside, cutting in on your stronger side and being able to have the final action in your shot at goal. Doke's been a bit different in the sense that he's playing on his strongest foot, like almost an old-fashioned wide player and more inclined to get to the dead ball line. But even though he's right-footed, he actually travels really well with his left foot as well. And he's got a great ambidextrous... I can't even say the name, but you know what I mean. Two-footedness to his game when he receives possession. And that means it opens up the possibilities for him to actually go either way when he sort of refines his game. And again, one of the interesting things for me is, although being right-footed, he very often travels with that left foot and then produces the step over with the left foot to go to the right-hand side, which is a kind of unnatural movement for a predominantly right-footed player. It's a much the easier action, should I say, to be able to travel with the right foot, step over with his favoured right foot, complete the step over on the ball with that foot, and then push out to the left-hand side. That would be the more natural movement for that footed player. But Doke actually creates the separation by doing the opposite, travelling with the left, stepping over with the left, and then pushing the ball forward with the right foot. And every single time, that distance that he generates between himself and a defender, I mean, defenders just can't get near him when he stands him up. And that is massively promising, because to find these kind of 1v1 players who can create that separation, the few and far between, even sometimes I look at Luis Diaz, Liverpool's best player in that sort of area of 1v1, and still I feel that sometimes he struggles to create that final separation between himself and the defender, often stretching to make the final shot or the final cross that he ends up actually producing. Doke just seems to have that such explosiveness that he puts himself in a position where he can just get his body set before producing the final action, which again needs work on. But the fact that he, you know, that final action is the last thing that he needs to work on, and he has that ability to be able to generate that space in the 1v1 initially, is the hardest trait that he's already got. So massively promising player, and as I say, just a real unique player in the way he plays, and maybe not the natural movement that you would have of a player playing on that favoured foot, if you like. So again, I thought he was really positive before he came off the field of play today. Thiago Jota obviously finished the final action for the goal. I think Jota's a really interesting player. I say this all the time. He's almost the perfect squad player you want in a big team, going for titles and going for the top ends of all the major competitions, really, because he is a player who's capable of playing all over the front line. And he's got this great ability to be able to contort his body and create chances on goal from positions that you feel are not optimum, if you like. And again today, just the way he finished with the quality of the quick thinking in that congested area to be able to backheel the ball with the inside of his boot into the net. And he's capable of that. I believe he's Liverpool's best finisher off both feet and also in the air as well. I think the way he is able to balance himself when the final action comes or the final shot is there to be taken is a real unique skill set. And his ability to, again, contort his body in the smallest of spaces where time and space is most limited. Again, I just think he's a perfect contributor in a big squad, because what he allows you to do is he's always likely around that 18-yard box to be able to drift in positions which can decide the outcome of games. And even if he's not starting games every single week, he's a player who you'd want within that squad every single time. And he's been a valuable player to Liverpool since he joined the club and continues to be. So they were the big takeaways for me. And finally, I think, from the centre-half, Kwanza, who, again, you know, I haven't mentioned so far on the podcast, but really promising the way he's came in. I think he's looked really assured in how he's played. He looks to have a really good physical profile to play for Liverpool and manage big distances in behind. And again, it's about refining his game now and seeing the level that he could potentially go on to, both technically And obviously he's got development to go physically as well, and Liverpool will be looking at that and seeing if, you know, he's got the sort of ceiling to be a squad member as a centre-half when you look at maybe Joe Matip is getting onto the latter stage of his career and who Liverpool would look to acquire in them areas and just what level they feel he can reach. But it's been massively promising for him so far, and he even set up the final goal today with a really good piece of composure. So I think, in general, over the first couple of weeks, he's got to be really pleased with how he's played for Liverpool. Oh, actually, I'll mention just finally as well Cody Gakpo, because his goal, brilliant finish. And that's his elite trait, being able to receive the ball off different angles, being able to contort his body in one movement and either travel with the ball or shoot in the same movement. And again, he was able to do that today with the use of the inside of his boot to be able to strike the ball home after initially playing with his back to goal and being in a situation where it was, again, not optimal to be able to finish. So rather than go through, I suppose, a few of the things that normally would look at tactically, if I were to just mention a few players today and try and break down some of the ways that I've been impressing or have to develop in the future. So good luck, win for Liverpool, and obviously on to the next round.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.